from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in our opening hour this morning, what lessons can be learned here in Northern California if a similar disastrous storm like Sandy hit? We'll take that up in the first half hour. And then we'll have Kim Alexander join us and talk with her about any lingering or remaining questions you still might have about voting tomorrow. She heads the California Voter Foundation. And we'll also get the latest on efforts by the state to find out names of donors behind an obscure Arizona nonprofit's $11 million contribution to California ballot measures. Forum begins after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. The Bay Area includes half of the state's shoreline. Could the kind of flooding we saw in New York and New Jersey happen in Northern California? And how prepared are Northern Californians and is the Bay Area for a devastating storm of Sandy's magnitude? And is a storm of that magnitude more likely with climate change? Well, we want to focus in this forum segment on the natural disaster risk here in the Bay Area in Northern California and the lessons we can glean from Superstorm Sandy. Joining us is Jeff Mount, who's Emeritus Professor of Geology and Founding Director of the Center for Watershed Sciences. Joins us from UC Davis this morning. Welcome, Jeff Mount.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you back on Forum. Also glad to have Joe LeClaire with us this morning. He's Chief Planner for San Francisco's Bay Conservation and Development Commission, and we welcome you, Joe LeClaire. Welcome.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you both. And, Jeff, I'm going to begin with you. You've kind of put out a lot of flares here and a kind of it's a real caveat to the business community to take note of this because you're saying there's a trifecta possibility of high tides and storm surge and intense rain that really could produce an extraordinary amount of damage.
Yeah, I think, Michael, the reason I wanted to alert the business community to this is they're actually probably the most important at this point. Local government has figured it out and recognized the status of risk associated with this kind of trifecta. Let me make it clear, because this is what we saw from Hurricane Sandy. You had a storm surge, and we all planned for storm surges, but you also had very intense rainfall on the land side. So when the water's trying to get out to the ocean and the ocean's coming in, that's where you get your big floods. And the Bay Area is very susceptible to this now. In fact, the reason I wanted to highlight this is forget climate change. The risk is here. It's here today. And everything you do to mitigate this risk today helps in trying to mitigate climate change risks. But in the end, what I've learned from working out here in the Central Valley all these years and trying to deal with flood issues out here is until the business community engages forcefully more than just calling for plans, you're really not going to get much done.
Well, you're talking about a lot of assets when you're talking about the business community. And if the emphasis is on just storm, sea level, climate change, whatever, $30 billion in public assets, including like the Port of Oakland, a couple of main airports, and 800 miles of roadways.
Yeah, that's a fair amount. But again, the business community doesn't register this well because they keep thinking we're talking in the abstract, that we're talking about climate change. And somewhere out in the future, this is going to be a problem. We'll deal with it later. No, it's here now. That risk is here today. So let me give you an example. Suppose we had a coinciding King Tide, El Nino, and then one of our big Pineapple Express storms. Think about what happens in the South Bay. Oracle, Cisco, Intuit, Lockheed Martin, Google, Facebook, suddenly they find themselves out of business. So that is the intention of this, is to say, hey, this is a good business decision to start planning, not just planning, but actually acting now in response to this risk.
Well, Joe LeClaire, I think you see things from a somewhat different perspective. Forgive me if I'm presuming too much here, but I think it's your sense that we don't necessarily have weather systems like back east here, and the business community maybe is more aware than we're hearing from Jeff Mount.
I think that the business community's organizations like the Bay Area Council and the East Bay Economic Development Alliance are engaged. They're certainly engaged with us at the Joint Policy Committee, which has decided to take up a strategy to address sea level rise here in the region. So the four regional agencies are going to be leading an effort to develop a strategy that addresses sea level rise here. And you know, this could prove to be a significant competitive advantage for the Bay Area because insurers and lenders are beginning to consider the potential for climate change impacts on investments that they make. But I think it's important to note that business leaders operate on a relatively short strategic time horizons. You know, many focus on the quarter, the year, maybe 5 years out. So it's been difficult to get their attention when you talk about sea level rise that may cause problems in 40 or 50 years. But I think these near-term storms, I think Jeff's right that these near-term storm threats are real. They're here now. And they fit better into those strategic planning timeframes that most businesses operate with. And I don't disagree with Jeff that we could have the kind of storm that comes that just happened in New York. However, I think it's important to note that in the estuary, we don't have the exposure to the open coast that you see in we just saw in New York. In the bay, the storm winds can be very high. They can even be hurricane force winds, but they don't generate the wave heights that or storm surges at the height that we saw in New York.
But we have the potential here for pretty intense storms. I mean, potential for storms at high tide and what have been described, what Jeff talked about as pineapple expresses or atmospheric rivers, as they call them.
We have a long history of those kinds of storms happening here in the Bay, and it's typically in the wintertime when we have the heavy rains, the soil gets saturated, the water runs off to the rivers, and the rivers can't handle it because, as Jeff pointed out, the highest tides occur in the wintertime when we have these kinds of storms.
And what about the potential for storms linked to climate change, though? What do the models tell us at this point?
Well, the models are unclear on the amount of or intensity of storms. A recent National Research Council study that was published said that the potential for the storm track to move north to Oregon and Washington was high, and it was less clear what was going to happen here in the Bay Area, although their conclusions were that we might have what they characterized as more productive storms, which agrees with what Jeff is saying, that we could have more heavy rainfall.
Well, Jeff Mount, given the fact that the flood studies show there is high risk here and given the kind of warnings that you're putting out, what should Bay Area business leaders be thinking about in their planning? I mean, there are what we could describe, I think you've used the word meager flood defenses here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I think when you look around the Bay Area, I mean, remember, you developed it more than 100 years ago and put in place some infrastructure, but it's not sufficient at this point to basically deal with the existing threat.
Forgive me, Jeff, we don't even know where all our levees are, do we?
Well, exactly. In fact, that's the whole country has got that problem. It's not just the Bay Area. But so your infrastructure is both unknown and weak. You don't know exactly where your highest risks are. You know where your highest vulnerability probably is, but not risk, meaning your economic risks. And we are starting a planning process to think about what we would do about it. Now, I bring all this up, Michael, because I've been here in the Central Valley. And remember, we had a really big flood back in 1997. In fact, I think that was the first time I was on your show. It was right around then. It's been 15 years since that, and we really haven't done anything about it except get a plan together. So these things take decades to actually respond to in some substantive way. So unless there's a sense of urgency, you really don't get going. And I again, that's why I was saying to the business community, just go ahead and map Hurricane Sandy onto the San Francisco Bay and what the consequences would be for your business. And you can see right away, very quickly, you have to engage, and we got some major problems. I mean, one is we don't know how good our infrastructure is, so we don't know what our existing risks are, and then we don't know how to fund all of this because this is going to be expensive. This is what New York is looking at this morning. If you read in the New York Times, and over the weekend they were looking at, well, what do we do about this? And the price tag is huge. So you need to engage the business community there as well as figuring out how to pay for all of this. But I do want to come back to this issue about the future. Now, there is some uncertainty about the frequency of storms and the magnitude of storms, but you got to add to this tides. And this is where I think the research is actually quite good. A lot of it out of the U.S. Geological Survey and also out of Scripps Institute. And what they're showing is what is going to happen to us is not so much these big storms, but increasing intensity and duration of tides. So the tides are progressively going to get higher and higher and higher with time, that what we would think of today as a king tide, which are our really biggest tides, is actually going to be a very common tide in a few decades. We're going to see this significant increase. Well, if those effects are going to show up within a few decades, and we know that it takes more than a few decades to actually respond to them, well, I mean, there should be some sense of urgency to get going.
You're saying the time is now. I'm hearing you come through yes. loud and clear. But I wonder, Joe LeClaire, what you would add to that. I mean, we certainly need to start perhaps more preparation for this kind of event that may be inevitable here as well. But, of course, there's earthquake preparation. There are lots of preparations that face us in terms of staving off what many see as the inevitables. But do we need to monitor, like, sea level rise to a greater extent and do those kinds of things as well?
Well, we have been monitoring sea level rise here in the Bay Area for 150 years. We have the oldest tide gauge record in the United States at Fort Point, and we will continue to monitor that. But I think that Hurricane Sandy provides a sobering reminder of the importance of emergency preparedness and being able to quickly respond to a flood disaster like this. Emergency preparedness is absolutely essential, even though we do need it. As Jeff has been advocating, to prepare for longer-term threats, but we can't use a patch and pray approach to improving our defenses. We need long-term, robust solutions, and that is going to require planning, and it's going to take time because it is going to be expensive. But we do need to get everyone engaged, not just the business community, but the other segments of society have to be engaged, and everybody has to be pulling on the same rope in the same direction to get this done, because it's going to be tremendously expensive.
Well, let's get the public engaged. In fact, this is an opportunity for you to join this conversation. We invite your contributions, so to speak. We invite your comments, your questions, and anything you might have to bring to the table here. In fact, you can join us now. It's a half-hour segment, so now would be the time to bring forward your questions or comments. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. Talking about the lessons from Hurricane or Superstorm Sandy here in the Bay Area, Northern California, but perhaps really throughout the United States. And again, feel free to join the program. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. The Bay Area, we should mention, includes half of the state's shoreline. And really asking the question, could the flooding that we saw in New York and New Jersey happen here in Northern California? The answer seems to be yes. And so what about lessons and what about preparation? Jeff Mount is with us. He's Emeritus Professor of Geology and Founding Director of the Center for Watershed Sciences at UC Davis. Joe LeClaire, also with us, is Chief Planner for San Francisco Bay Conservation and Development Commission. And again, you can feel free to join the program now by calling us 866-733-6786 or emailing us. Our email address is forum@kqed.org. You're also welcome to post any questions or comments you have on our website, kqed.org/forum. Simply click on the segment or go to our Facebook page or tweet us. And our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. Looking at some emails here, John in Oakland says, what about an earthquake collapsing levees and flooding the Delta? Jeff?
That's a separate issue. And this is something you've covered on your show before. And in fact, a very serious storm like this, not so much the storm surge, but the intense winds and high runoff could well flood those. Forget the earthquake for a second. I do want to make sure that everybody knows there's a difference here, and we're really just talking about the Bay Area proper. We're not talking about the Delta and the areas near Sacramento. They have their own set of problems, which we're working on urgently at this point. But this is really focused on the kind of flooding that you would get in the Bay Area associated with something like Hurricane Sandy.
Well, here, Joe LeClaire, is Max, who says, I'm curious if you can give me an estimate of what altitude is guaranteed to be safe from storm surges in the Bay Area, say, in the next 50 years. I live at 35 feet above sea level, for instance. I'm pretty sure that would leave me okay, but folks in the marina obviously are looking at a different situation.
Well, our coastal defenses in the Bay are not as robust as they need to be, as Jeff pointed out. We built many of the areas like the marina just high enough above sea level and protected them, and because from the sea level that we have. So our storm surge with wind-driven waves could go as high as probably the 15 to 16-foot contour here in the Bay Area.
Here's a comment from Red on our website. You can put our comments on your comments on our website simply by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on the segment. And Red writes, biggest takeaway for him from Sandy and Katrina is that stupid human beings need to adapt to Mother Nature rather than telling Mother Nature how things are going to be. We need to question our collective hubris and reject past bad decisions, such as building cities at sea level, locating companies in crowded, hyper-expensive metropolitan areas, or constructing flimsy houses at the shore. Humans used to be good at adaptation. Perhaps our addiction to cheap energy has fooled us into thinking we don't have to adapt. Let's bring our callers in, and we go first to Bill. Bill, you're on.
Hi, great show, Phil. The first thing is I just want to point out that what happened in New York wasn't really a flood. It was more like a tsunami. The tide came up 13 feet, and, you know, that kind of coastal surge and stuff back is different than, you know, flooding, which is from rains. And my question is, you know, when is some attempt going to be made to change building codes, which is on the kind of time scale that you're talking about, and it seems like the first place to be. So, for example, people that are in the Delta region, you know, should have to build, you know, at a 200-year, you know, floodplain and bring their houses up. I'll take your answer off the air.
Okay, we thank you for the question, Jeff Mount.
Building codes are one of the most powerful adaptations you can make. Just think about earthquakes and how after each successive earthquake, we've set new building codes, and they translate out over decades into more resilient buildings and more resilient systems. But we have in place, of course, a National Flood Insurance Program that the Federal Emergency Management Agency has. But these are very minimal standards at best. So yes, building codes make a powerful difference, again, over the period of decades. They don't remove the vulnerability issue, so you're still going to have to make some investments in – some substantial investments in the infrastructure to protect you. But, yeah, building codes are a big deal.
Want to weigh in here, Joe LeClaire?
Well, I think the important thing, too, is to recognize that we need long systemic coastal defenses. Building codes get you one building at a time, and that's a really important part of the puzzle. But because we have so – we can't be sure that properties are going to experience some kind of renovation during the time frame where the threat occurs, then we also need to look at the entire shoreline as a system and figure out how to provide defenses in that way.
Let me bring in more callers. And Celia, you're next. Join us on forum. Good morning.
Hi there. You know, I think part of the problem is it's very hard to visualize what could actually happen, even seeing what happened in Sandy. And I'm wondering if there's any place people can go online where somebody has done some modeling and has demonstrated graphically this is where a storm surge would reach, this is where a high tide or a king tide would come, so that people can see whose houses and whose businesses would be underwater.
Can you help us here, Joe LeClaire?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has created a website called the Sea Level Rise Viewer, and it's just recently been published here on the West Coast. And people can see the sea level rise in 1 foot increments, you know, 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 foot, 4 foot, up to 4 feet, and see where that might come. And it also shows those areas of the shoreline that are hydrologically disconnected from that from those tides. So that if an area may be low lying, but there's some kind of topographic feature, a levee, a berm, or something that prevents the tide from reaching it, it will show it as potentially vulnerable but not connected to the tide. So people can, I think, form an impression from that, viewing that website, as to what their vulnerabilities might be.
Isn't there also kind of changing technology here when we're talking about such things, like I brought up earlier, monitoring sea level rise or checking the tides and so forth? Anything particularly new on the horizon or a new frontier that you're looking at?
Well, we know that the satellite altimetry has really improved our ability to monitor global sea level rise, and we're getting better at doing regional sea level rise projections, or taking the outputs of global climate models and taking them down to the regional scale, which was the work that the National Research Council recently did. And one of the things that was really interesting about that study was that they showed that current sea level rise that we're experiencing is due largely to land ice melt, and that the eustatic sea level rise, or the rise that's due to warming the ocean, really hasn't kicked in as much as the land ice melt has, but they expect that it will here in the coming decades.
And again, Joe LeClaire is chief planner for the San Francisco Bay Conservation and Development Commission. Jeff Mount is emeritus professor of geology and founding director of the Center for Watershed Sciences at UC Davis. And our next caller is Philip from Napa. Philip, you're on. Hi.
Yes, I just want to make a comment that in addition to what we might want to go ahead and do as a society, I think we also need to reemphasize the importance of what we need to do as an individual. Many of the problems that we see, whether it's Sandy, Katrina, and you take your pick, is that people are failing to go ahead and make sure that they have adequate food for at least 14 days, that they keep their vehicle three-quarters full. And then also, too, the other one is that local government, every city has a merchant services council. Have they taken steps to make sure that there's at least one gas station in their area that they serve or under their jurisdiction that they will go ahead and commit and invest in so that they have an emergency power supply so that we don't have these gas station lines? Also, too, many of them may be a drop point for the federal government to drop off emergency supplies. But do they have the logistical capability to go and move them throughout their community? But anyways, again, my comment is in addition to everything else, we need to also at the same time keep the conversation going about personal responsibility, regardless of what plans are being made, so that as an individual, you can take care of yourself and your loved ones.
All good advisories, Philip, and we thank you for them. And we got a comment online from Jeff in Palo Alto who says, your guest, that's you, Jeff Mount, briefly mentioned the 1998 flood in Palo Alto. That took out E-Trade for a day. I was working there at the time, as well as a bunch of houses and some cars at the dealerships there on Embarcadero Road. The levees in Palo Alto are still unchanged, as is the bridge on San Francisco Creek, which led to the creek backing up and dozens of expensive houses flooding. Another listener asked about the levees. Why don't we know where all the levees are? Why will there be more king tides? And what do the tide records for 150 years show? That's from Jackie. Jeff Mount?
Actually, Joe's as good at answering this as I am. Basically, we have seen a steady rise in sea level over the last century, although it tapered off for the last 10 years or so. And as Joe pointed out, we're now about to start catching up with the rest of the globe in sea level rise. In fact, a number of articles have been written recently which point that out, that we're going to start seeing a rapid rise in sea level. And so the king tides are, you know, just normal tidal cycles where you get that perfect amplification between the moon and the sun, and you get extremely high tides. Those happen to occur in the winter when we have some of these large storms, and we'll see them again this year. And when they coincide, that's when you get your biggest storm surge. As for why we don't know where all our levees are, you've got to remember we developed – it's not like we had one giant planning agency that planned the San Francisco Bay. It was a series of ad hoc events over time. An individual farmer near the coast may have put in a levee, which eventually evolved to protect his assets and then eventually evolved into protecting houses. So that's one of the big challenges we have, is we don't know what all our infrastructure looks like. We don't know its condition. So you've got to make those upfront investments, but it's necessary to get going now.
Well, you can find a link to Sea Level Rise Viewer from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration on our website by going to kqed.org/forum, and you can continue this discussion there as well or on our Facebook page. I want to thank Jeff Mount. Thank you, Jeff, for being with us.
Thank you.
Jeff Mount is Emeritus Professor of Geology and Founding Director of the Center for Watershed Sciences at UC Davis. And thanks to you, Joe LeClaire, for joining us.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure.
Joe LeClaire is Chief Planner of the San Francisco Bay Conservation and Development Commission. And another segment of Forum up ahead, we're going to look at what's in store for you tomorrow and any questions you might have on voting and the like. But we're also going to update you on that big question of $11 million and who's behind it. Arizona money filtering into the California elections. When we return on Forum, I'm Michael Krasny.